Hi, and welcome to Let's Look. Today, I interviewed Monica Brown to find out more about her artistic practice. Enjoy!
So, just to start off, just, you know, tell me your name and a little bit about your practice. That's it.
Okay, my name is Monica J. Brown, and I'm an interdisciplinary artist, including visual art, movement, poetry. My themes right now tend to be memory, history, and personal mythology. So both themes do definitely carry on from mediums. And sometimes it is that I choose the medium based on the idea and which medium or media I feel will best convey the idea.
Could you go in a little bit deeper about those themes and kind of explain them a little bit?
Okay, memory, history, and personal mythology. So I felt like memory is a bit of an abstraction. I did a little research on the way that memory works, and I always thought it was like kind of like a computer. Like everything that happens is kind of like stored in a memory bank, and that's actually not how it works. Like memory is a bit of an abstraction, the lens we use to perceive things and our past experiences help inform like each moment and how we continue to move forward in, collecting our experiences that then turn into memories. And the same thing with history. So I think history, personal history, and then ancestral history, and then even history of a place like United States or whatever. All of these things play into a narrative that we create for ourselves and for our lives, and that narrative then becomes kind of like our own personal mythology, and it's based, I think, on the way that we view the things that have happened in the past, the way that those things that have happened in the past affect the way that we perceive what is happening in the present. And then using all of that to create the stories that we tell ourselves about ourselves. And that is kind of the way that we form our personal mythology.
How did you come up with that term, personal mythology? I've never heard it before, and I find it so interesting.
You know, I'm not sure offhand. I just think of, I really doubt that I came up with it. But I don't remember where I grabbed it from. But it's possible that it's just my own creation of the way that I feel about, in studying, mythologies, especially growing up in Pentecostal church. So that kind of was my earlier years of creating, kind of digging into that and then seeing the way that, all stories help shape the way that we view the world, and then getting more personal with it, just thinking about how each individual life has its own mythology that probably borrows from life experience, maybe spiritual or religious mythologies, if that is a basis or background for a person's life.
Yeah, I think that's so interesting. So you, with all of these mediums, do you have a favorite?
I really don't. Mm-hmm. I really don't. I'm trained in painting, and that's always my comfortable place, but I feel like really I just want to be able to convey whatever idea or concept that I have, and trying to figure out which medium best will illuminate those ideas. And sometimes it's more than one.
Yeah, for sure. And do you have an audience that you try to reach with your work?
I would say yes and no. Definitely, you know, to sound a little generic, humans, because I try to convey a human experience that I feel, hopefully, it's my intention to go across all demographics, but because I am a Black woman, I, of course, want to communicate with other Black women, other women, other artists, other people who are interested in these same ideas. So it's kind of broad and general at the same time.
Mm-hmm. And kind of switching gears just a little bit. So you're working out of Chicago. Are you originally from the area?
I'm from a little small town in Illinois, Kewanee, Illinois. So I'm not from Chicago, but I've been here for 30 years.
Oh, wow. So what?
I feel, yes, I am a Chicagoan.
What drew you to Chicago?
Honestly, I moved from Kewanee to Los Angeles to attend art school, mm-hmm. Women's College of Art and Design, and then I thought I was going to go to New York from there, but sister was then here in Chicago, and I came and I stayed.
Yeah. So how did you build your network in Chicago if you didn't go to college there? I know that a lot of the women that I interview, that's where they describe their network really coming from.
I was fresh out of college when I first moved to Chicago, and then I landed at the Chicago Reader, which that paper has gone through many incarnations, but then it was a great source and resource, and I think it still is now also a great resource for artists, the classified ads of Connecting People, Chicago Artist Coalition, which was down the street from the Reader's original location. So I became a member of the Chicago Artist Coalition. And then through the Artist Coalition, I found Woman Made Gallery that was just, having its origins in one of its first spaces there on Rockwell Street, and was able to have one of my first exhibitions there in that space, and then it just kind of branched out from there. Also learning about the Illinois Arts Council and the Department of Cultural Affairs and Special Events here, like those organizations have helped to, grant me funding to continue the work that I do.
That's amazing. Was there a moment in your life where you decided you wanted to be an artist?
I feel like always, even as a young child, like my mom bought me some like craft books so I can kind of dig in there and find little things to keep myself busy. And then thankfully, the elementary, junior high, and high schools that I went to had wonderful art programs, so just always taking as many art classes as I could. Really wonderful and beautiful relationship with my high school art instructor. But I don't know if I really realized that it was something that I could pursue, like, on a, after high school, like that I could focus on art as a major, until my aunt who she still lives there in California, came to visit, and when I was about to graduate from high school, I was like, hey, if you want to go to an art school, there's some great art schools here in California. And it was like ding ding ding, like, oh, I can do this, I can pursue this as as even though it was like everything that I did, I just didn't realize that I could take that as an art, be an art major. So I think maybe that's when I realized that I could really focus in on it professionally.
And how did your practice change going into college?
I would say that a lot of my work pre-college was from observation, still lives, or just drawing from life, portraits, that kind of thing, or, you know, drawing from photographs, trying to do, like, more realistic work. And I think attending art school exposed me to different ways of expressing that don't have to be, you know, realistic, just genres, genres of art, and tons of exploration across media, from drawing, painting, sculpture, photography, led me to be more open to the ideas of, like, expressing an idea more than trying to, I guess, copy from life.
Yeah, and then how did your practice change moving from California to Chicago? That's such a, it's a huge shift.
I wouldn't say that the geography really affected the work so much. I would just say that all of the tools that I gathered, I guess I began to experiment with those and see the different ways that I could express them. So I don't think geography was a factor in that.
Yeah, for sure. And then what are you working on right now?
Right now, I have a series of paintings that I'm working on, ranging size, I would say, like 40 by 30 to 50 by 3 feet that are play with the idea of time and memory and history. So, and also ancestry. So, photographs from my parents who both passed away within the past few years. So then digging through old family albums and finding these beautiful photographs and then using them to kind of dig in a way to get to know them better, to get up and close to this idea of ancestry. This is the closest, you know, that it's gotten to me. It was usually matriarch's grandmother, great-grandmother, but then parents is another level of that. And then thing with time and that, when I started this series, I ended up using a canvas that was sort of abandoned, I guess. Like, and I found several of these that were like maybe 70 to 80% finished, but I never resolved them from years ago. Mm-hmm. And then kind of collaging the new work on top of them. And I would say they're kind of a combination of abstraction, figurative, and they're kind of stylized, maybe even like graphic art, some of them, and just kind of a way to honor my ancestors, honor my parents, and then to, you know, keep the same idea of memory, history, and personal mythology going to the next iteration.
Yeah, and that brings me to the question, where and how do you see yourself in the work that you create?
I think it's more in the ideas that kind of live in my head, that I can see them visually. But of course, since a lot of my work deals with ancestry and I use a lot of photographs of, you know, my ancestors, then, you know, seeing myself in them, the way that the work, you know, that comes up.
Yeah, and do you only work with your own personal history, or do you expand outside of that?
That is the space that I'm in now, because I have, thankfully, have, like, so much, so many resources of old photographs to work from. And what I found interesting is that It seemed in a way like it would be too personal for other people to be interested, but, you know, how it said that the personal is universal. Like, people, when I look at the work, tell me, you know, this could be my grandmother, or this could be, you know, and the work still sells, even though it's, like, specifically people that I know and that are not connected to the people who buy the work, they still... there's still something in it that can be that can be a universal theme beyond that you don't know who this person is depicted in the artwork.
Yeah, that's so special. So I have one last question. What advice would you have for a younger version of yourself, or younger artists in general, women artists?
I would say keep going. It's good to make a habit out of creativity. It's difficult sometimes, especially after, you know, finishing school. Like, you get a job, you have to pay the bills. How do you fit that into your everyday life? But like making it a point to be consistent, finding some time to always create, and not being frustrated by ebbs and flows. Like, you know, there are absolutely times when nothing is happening. You know, I've gone long stretches of time where just nothing was happening, and when I was younger, I would get frustrated about that. Like, what's going on? I'm still an artist. But I think that's just part of it. And then also showing up, even when that feeling is there. There's been plenty of times where I'm like, I don't feel like it today, but I still go to the studio, and then something happens, and then it's also okay if nothing happens, and not too frustrated by nothing's happening.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much.
Thank you, Emily.
Thank you so much for listening, and we'll see you next time on Let's Look.